All right, and welcome everyone to another Tuesday evening here on peoplesinternetradio.com. I'm Stephen Roberts, and this is Cancel the Cabal. Give me a few seconds here while I do a little something quick. Something that I always forget to grab the... seems to be missing. So I'm not sure what's going on here, but anyways... Oh, there it is right there. Stop and pick up the other one. And, well, still not going to be able to connect to PSN radio for some reason, but anyways, deal with that later. I'm going to run a couple things here. I'm going to post some pictures that that my guest wants to have posted, and I'll play a couple of promo videos. And actually, what's going to happen is I'm going to have Tressa Graves coming on. She's going to talk about some promotional things that she wants to do, some things that I have done and some other friends have done. So first I'm going to play these two promo videos. I need to put it on, and then I'll be back after a few minutes with Tressa Graves. So thank you, everyone.
The Sawgrass Footpath. This is a work of fiction. Names, characters, places, and incidents are either products of the author's imagination and used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events, locales, or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. Copyright 2011 by Tressa Graves. All rights reserved, including the right of reproduction in whole or in part in any form. Edited by Sam Hamilton. The horror. As Tom sat in the driveway of his late parents' house, horrid screams clouded his mind. Tables being thrown to the side, blood spattered throughout the house, as well as two mutilated bodies burned through him like an out-of-control fire. It was safe to say, Tom Diggins was definitely at his breaking point in life. As a doctor, he knew what being on the verge of a nervous breakdown meant, and he was tipping the scale. The only thing pushing him, willing him to carry on, was his wife, Anne, whom he cherished. Tom ran his fingers through his hair, as if to calm himself. It was his choice of OCD. He never understood why it helped, but it did. Well, at least sometimes. It was good enough for Tom Diggins, MD. Tom slowly released his seatbelt, which made him feel relief, as he hated wearing it, despite having seen all the effects of what happened by not wearing it. Tom had tried to save many lives the years he worked in ER and saw the gruesome effects of what not wearing it caused, usually trauma to the head or internal organs. Before attempting to get out of the vehicle, Tom rested his head against the steering wheel of the car as he took a deep breath, trying to compose himself. "Stop being a procrastinator. Just get the fuck out of the car," he told himself as he opened the car door. As he stepped out, a gust of wind blew through him, which was refreshing. Tom closed his eyes as its pitch black hair blew back over his forehead, exposing his deep dark eyebrows the girls since high school went crazy over. Once at the front door, the brutal murder of how his parents died haunted him. No matter how hard he tried to escape what happened to his mother and father, he couldn't. It was why selling his parents' house was so crucial. Tom knew he needed to distance himself from what happened as much as he could. He knew the longer he held on to the house, the harder it would be to overcome the horrors that happened within. He knew this final trip to the house he grew up in would be his last, and he was, oddly enough, okay with it. Tom was tired of fighting with the lurking inner demons having hold over his life. It would be a sad goodbye, but nevertheless a goodbye desperately needing to take place. As he stood at the front door, he saw the window the intruder broke in through and visualized what the assailant must have looked like. For some reason, he pictured a Richard Ramirez lookalike. The crimes, after all, were just as sadistic and sick as his were. It took the papers to tell him both his parents were bludgeoned to death with a hammer. Oddly enough, it's not what threw him over the edge. It was what he found out about his mother, explaining why there was no open casket at the funeral. He knew about one of his mother's breasts was almost severed from her chest, but the fact she was missing her eyes was way too much to take. All Tom knew was he wanted 5 minutes alone with the sick, demented fucker who brutally tortured and murdered his parents. As he thought back on the day he walked through the house and saw the aftermath of what happened, an explosive rage coursed through him like an uncontrollable conflagration. Tom would love to put an end to the intruder's life. He would show the assailant no compassion, just as the man, Tom used the word man lightly, as the animal was more like it, had shown his parents. Tom lowered his head in what looked like a prayer and whispered through a clenched fist showing the white of his knuckles, "No mercy." He took in a deep breath. "You can do this," he assured himself. "This will be your last and final goodbye," he said as he composed himself. Tom looked up and stared hypnotically at the front door, with the key gripped firmly in his hands. As he slid the key in its hole, he heard a voice behind him. "Tom, I haven't heard from you in a while. How have you been?" Tom turned around and saw his lifelong neighbor, Trevor Benson, an ex-military Vietnam sniper, standing behind him. "Hello, Mr. Benson. How are you, sir?" Tom said genially, pleased to see the man standing there. "Tom, you're a grown man now, and although I do realize I'm over the hill, but please call me Trevor," he said with a smile as he held out his hand. Tom managed to smile as he extended out his hand. "It's just a habit, Mr.," Tom began to say, but caught himself and smiled as he held his head down, almost embarrassed. "So, Trevor, how have you been?" "That's more like it. It's good to see the smile on your face. I mean, when I first walked up on you, you looked rather disturbed." "Well, yeah, considering what happened," Tom said as he turned around and looked at the house. "There's not much to smile at here." "Understood. I just wanted to come over and let you know we were thinking of you, me and the missus. I've spoken of you quite frequently, mainly out of concern." "The old for sale sign has been up for a while. I have to say, I think it's probably the best thing for you. Selling the house will wipe a lot clean for you. At least I have prayed for just that." "Thank you," Tom smiled somberly. "I think it is for the best as well. I'm just here to say one last goodbye to the old girl I grew up in and make sure everything I want is out of here."
"You think she will sell easy? So far, it doesn't look very promising."
"Not many people want a house where a brutal murder took place, unless you're in Cali area, where they thrive on that sort of thing."
Preface. The Lady in the Backyard is based off events which occurred in 1911 in the state of Florida. The exact location was unknown until this story surfaced. The events unfolded were thought to be legend, but were soon proven to be wrong. What you will read below are the only known facts. The author who wrote the tale supposedly burned to death in a cabin in northern Florida. All official documents were burned with her. This is the only evidence left. The following will leave you to finally believe the legend of the Lady in the Backyard was real. Chapter 1. As the wind picked up, lightning flashed in the distance, so bright at times that it defied an old oak tree in the backyard of an old two-story house, handed down from generation to generation since 1911. When the child's screams were heard, the wind picked up. "Daddy! Daddy! Daddy!" Glinda screamed. Randy almost fell out of bed to the horrific plea. Roberta did not even have time to wake before she was fighting her way out of the room. As she tried to open her daughter's bedroom door, it was locked shut. Roberta threw all her weight against the door as she yelled for Randy to help. Glinda kept screaming for her mommy. Randy shoved Roberta to the side and reached the door, where it opened immediately. He quickly turned to his wife and shook his head. "You have to turn the doorknob, dear." Roberta ran inside, where she grabbed Glinda up in her arms. Glinda was sweating profusely and shaking uncontrollably. She panted in fear, on the verge of hyperventilating. Randy followed her eyes and saw the bedroom window was open. A gentle breeze blew back Glinda's lavender curtains as a hum was heard, ever so faintly. "How many times have me and your mother told you to keep this shut?" Roberta cut him off, angry at his scolding Glinda, as she was already afraid enough. "What is your problem? Look at her," Roberta scolded, as she pushed Randy to the side. "What is it, honey? You can tell Mommy. I told you to stop letting her watch TV. This is what happens when she does, an overactive imagination that causes problems," he said, but quickly retracted as he saw Glinda staring at him through wide, pitiful eyes. Baby girl, there are lots of creepy sounds at night and daunting shadows. Hell, sometimes my mind goes off on me and I'm a 46-year-old man. No, no, Daddy, it was real. It was real. She's going to get me and eat me with the sharp teeth. Please, please, Daddy, don't let the old woman eat me, please. What do you mean? Who's going to eat you? Roberta asked, while holding your daughter tight in her lap. I told Daddy, but he never checks. When you two come in, she goes away. She's mean, Mommy, very mean. Roberta picked Glenda up and began to walk out of the room. Randy looked at her and started complaining. Are you serious? This isn't going to help. Put her back to bed. Well, if you don't like it, then you can sleep in Glenda's room tonight and see if anything pops up. I mean, you do know everything. Ain't that right? Look, Roberta, Randy began to say as he touched her arm. She immediately pulled away. Don't, Randy. It's best you quit while you're ahead, as I have nothing to say to you. Randy shrugged as he looked towards the bedroom window. Nice. All alone. Perfect, he said as he looked towards the bed. As Roberta lay Glenda in the bed, she jumped as tears began to flow. Mommy, if you leave me, I'll die. I'm not going to leave you, baby. Mommy is here for you, I promise. Now try and get some sleep, Roberta said as she gently caressed Glenda's forehead until she fell asleep.
All right, I'm going to give my friend Trust a call here. It's either call her on her home telephone or call her on the Facebook Messenger type stuff. So we're going to give her a call. Hello, Tressa.
Hi.
Hi, we're on air.
Oh, okay.
I just played both of those readings. I played my reading first, and then I played the other one. Philly's
lady
son.
In the backyard, Justin.
Justin, yes.
Yeah.
I can see by listening to his, I need to work on what I was doing there. But, that was just the first attempt. I posted all six, photos you gave me earlier on the, site there. So people can go look at those.
Okay. Good. Good. I hope they enjoyed the, the two little audios that you played there.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly. Hopefully they did.
And that's why I came on today, to let people know, you know, I haven't gotten my website back up yet. We're working on that. But the books are back up for sale, and I partnered up with VidMe, which there's a video. I don't know if I sent you that video or not. Remember we did a Dark Hours and we were talking about the VidMe partnership where
right.
I was going to be selling books?
Yes.
Well, that's up on the VidMe link as well, so people can go over there and check that out. But if they want to go in and order a book, it should be in those two links that I had sent to you that you just played. All they got to do is go in and put in the amount for whatever book they want in the tip section, and we will have a book shipped out to them as soon as everything goes through. So
well,
I'm excited because I... Huh?
Two listeners have said that they did enjoy. Well, actually, three now. Captain Ray.
Oh, good.
Captain Ray and Newman and Lori.
Oh, thank you. It's exciting because I've been out for about a year. Haven't done any book signings or, you know, really sold any books or anything for other reasons. But now that I'm back out, you know, I'm back out now wanting to get everything going, get these two out, because my new book, The 50 Shades of Graves, is coming out in a few months, and that's a book of short stories, which I've worked on over the past 15 or so years putting all those together, so it's exciting to get those back out. I think people kind of like the short stories. It's kind of old school writing, and like in the video that you played of Justin reading, that was kind of an old school, you know, creature feature type thing. It reminded me of that, you know, back when people
reminded me of what they used to do back in the 20s and 30s before TV came along. They had the actors read scripts into a microphone. They would do stuff on the radio.
Yes, and that's what I want to get into, you know, with us bringing back the Dark Hours. I want to get into reading more books, doing audiobooks and stuff like that, and having the Dark Hours be you know, like a weekly show where we do stuff like that. So I'm excited to get that back, you know, to get back out, get the dark hours going, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And we will be probably doing an audiobook for all of the stories in 50 Shades of Grey. So that's going to be a lot of work to do, but it's going to be worth it, because a lot of those stories are unique. They're little tales, kind of like The Lady in the Backyard, when people were listening to that. And by the way, on The Lady in the Backyard, if anyone wants to go in and purchase that, they can either get the audio, the full audio of Justin reading it, or they can just get an ebook, which we can send both those out immediately. The Sawgrass Footpath is only in paperback. We haven't done a full audiobook on that one yet. But I'm hoping to have some samples up of 50 Shades of Grey soon. I had mentioned before in that I'm working with Jeff Thomas, who's worked with Warner Brothers and all kinds of stuff, on a movie that he did in 2002, I think it was. I did a book signing with him, and his movie, 13 Seconds, had won many, many awards, and he sent me the script, and I turned that into a novella, because it's not quite a novel, so it's called a novella. And so that's exciting, because I did that maybe 10 years ago, 12 years ago, so finally getting that out there too, that's exciting for me, along with some of the other stories that we're going to have in there. But we'll have samples up and stuff like that for everyone to go check out.
Well, you know, we can just briefly mention what the deal's been going. Some people know, and maybe others don't, but you're being attacked. You're being cyberbullied by a man and a woman over in Australia. And that's the entire reason why you haven't gotten out in the last year and sold very many books, because you don't really have a publisher. You've self-published all your stuff, and you don't have a team of people that go out and promote your books, or you don't have an advertising agency behind you that promote your books.
Well, we do now. And when I was out doing book signings, we had Bud Light go out with us and Dick's Last Resort, which we've had to back off from doing book signings because Troy over in Australia, he's been attacking Dick's Last Resort nonstop, posting stuff all over their Facebook and Google pages, and he's threatened me that if I go back out, he's going to attack Bud Light and Dick's, and like people who went in and like Dick's Last Resort, you know, like their Facebook page or G+ page, that he'd go in and attack those people too. So
yes, but I think you had a particular reason. You said you wanted to share what is actually going to be going on, some promotional things. You want to talk about that quickly, or?
Well, the as far as promotion, I do have a new marketing team, which Stephen is a part of that, because he's part of, you know, my whole team now. And some of the marketing things that we're going to do will help get me back out. We're in talks. Well, we will be in talks with Dick's Last Resort and Bud Light again. And I've also partnered up with VidMe. So there's going to be a lot of really good things to come. Even though I was out for a year, when I get back out on the road and do my book tour, it's going to be bigger than it was when I left a year ago. Because I'll have all three books to go out with and stuff. But my marketing team is, I won't say too much because of the people who are stalking me, because I don't want them to go after them or anything. But yeah, it's going to be really big. I'll tell you what, it's a very professional marketing team that knows what they're doing. They work with huge companies, major corporations, and I have them with me now. So, and I just wanted to say, it's not just cyberbullying and stuff. It's actually been death threats, sending people to my house and stuff too. So,
well, that's
all
a little
more than just cyberbullying.
Well, that's basically all what that means. But yes.
Yeah, so, but yeah, I'm just excited that everything's back out. I'm glad that you got to let everyone hear the samples of the two stories that are out. Now, the Sawgrass Footpath, that's a full-length novel, and that's like my one of my baby books that takes place. All my stories take place in Tampa, Florida, so, or the surrounding area of Florida. I like the swamp. It helps me write. You know, I'm relaxed when I'm in the dark, gloomy areas there.
So just, well, basically tell me, what are you going to do once myself and once I refine my audiobook stuff, and Justin, once he does a few more and stuff like that, how are you going to make those available to the public?
Well, we'll do them the same way that we're doing now. The audiobooks, we are thinking about putting them on CDs and actually selling them that way. I don't know yet. I've got to get with my marketing team, but it might be a digital download that we will do for people. Everyone's going digital now. People like ebooks, and they like to sit at home and just order stuff that way. I would rather sell, you know, CDs and stuff, but a lot of people like the ebooks. And
well, you can probably
downloads.
Do both.
We may do both. If we do the CDs, that may be something that we take on the road with us and just do sales that way to make it a little bit easier for us, because even though my team's getting bigger, if we're out on the road, it's going to be hard to keep track of sales and stuff as far as that goes. So we'll probably just take them out on the road, and then I can sign the audiobooks or whatever whenever I'm out there. So and what I like to do, huh?
Hopefully by that time you'll have a little PA that can do all that stuff for you.
Yeah, well, and that's what the, you know, part of my marketing team and stuff, I think they're going to handle that. And they're also going to handle, like, my website and everything. So, and Philly, he'll be doing some of that. And Philly can also, if he's not out on the road with us everywhere we go, he'll be able to maybe handle some of that as well. So the team's getting bigger. It's very professional team that we have now. And it's going to be, I mean, I think people are going to be pretty surprised whenever they see me come back, you know, with my book signings. We're going to stay up and down the East Coast, as I've done before, for now, and maybe later in the year head out to maybe Texas. And I mentioned in a video on VidMe that if I went to Texas, I'd go out to California and go see the guys over at VidMe. And the owner actually came in and gave me a big thumbs up on that. So they were pretty happy with that. And I've never been there, so I'd like to go there and do book signing out there as well. But I plan on hitting a lot of states when I get out.
California is a different country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, I'm open to see. I like to go different places, and I like to see different things. So it'd be exciting, as long as I'm not away from home too long, because I start getting homesick when I go too far away from home. But, and you had mentioned before about flying, which it really sucks for me because I do get homesick. And if I'm driving out to California, that's going to be a long way for me to get back home, because I fly, but I really don't like to. I guess with me being a writer, when I'm out on the road, it gives me ideas. And that's why I like to drive where I go, because it gives me time to write too.
Driving to California for me is just a little over 2,400 miles. So that takes a good solid 4 days to do.
Well, and like we said, once we get back out, we're hoping to have, I'm not going to say too much right now, but we're hoping all of us will be able to travel together whenever we go wherever we're going to go, because JJ, my bodyguard, too, now that I have him, he'll be going out with us everywhere we go. So we're going to have a full team on board once we get out. I always tease JJ. I say, I'm a handful when I'm out there, so you're going to have to. You have to keep track of me. And he's like, he can handle me okay. So I think it's going to be fun. I've got people I can trust. I got people I like a lot. And all of us get along really good. And I think it's going to be big. It's going to be really exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I really can't wait to get 50 Shades of Graves out, because I've already released the book cover. That's up. So people can go over and check that out on social media. I'm on G+, Instagram, Facebook. Tumblr and VidMe, and there's probably some more, but I can't think of them offhand.
You don't have a Twitter yet?
Huh?
Don't have a Twitter? Don't have an Instagram?
I do have Instagram. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. Yeah, Sam's got the Twitter. I want to kind of, I may close some of my social media pages and just have a fan page once I get back out on the road, because it's going to be too much for me to have to keep up with everything. So I might just do Instagram, and I like Instagram a lot, and I like G+, so I may just do those.
Unless you do have a personal assistant, I think you need to get the notifications disconnected on some of those things there.
Oh, yeah, because you've heard my phone going off.
Yeah, every
it's
time.
It's like nonstop.
Every time I talk to you on the home phone, I hear a little bang or a little bird going off, Twitter or some kind of thing, just nonstop. It's some sort of a notification, whether it's an email or somebody sent a new message or something.
Yeah, it's and it's slow now. Wait till I get back out there. We got to where I had to turn my phone off at night, and we'd wake up in the morning and turn it on, and we would wake up, and it would take 15, 20 minutes for my phone to stop doing notifications from all the social media coming through.
Yeah, I know.
We actually recorded it one day. It was pretty funny.
Well, you did say.
But that means I'm doing something right.
Yeah. You did tell me you didn't want to do very long today, 15 minutes or so.
Well, yeah, because I was just, I just wanted to come on and let everyone know that, the books are available. And I told people that if they couldn't catch a show live, that we would put it up on VidMe maybe later on tonight or whatever. But, yeah, today was just to give everyone a sample, let them know, hey, for those people who have followed me over the years, let them know, hey, I'm back. And we're going to have a blast whenever we get back out at Dick's Last Resort with Bud Light. I have a funny story I'll tell you. I don't know if I told you this yet or not, but we was in a grocery store, and there was a Bud Light rep in there, and we were talking, and they just think it's really cool because Bud Light's never been able to go out with an author before. Uh-huh. And I'm kind of the oddball because I don't do bookstores and stuff like that. I like to go out to Dick's Last Resort, and we're gonna look at a few other places. The one company that we're looking at, it's an international company to start doing book signings at, but it's not laid back. I like to get out and socialize with people and have a good time when I'm out working. So Bud Light thought that was pretty cool, and I was down in Tampa, and we was actually in Brandon, and two of the head Bud Light reps came out, and I was just, it was amazing to have Bud Light out there with me, supporting me, and just having a big company like that show up and do banners and posters and stuff. Uh-huh. And I told people before, I grew up in Tampa, so Anheuser-Busch, Busch Gardens, I always lived within 5-10 minutes of Busch Gardens. And as a little kid, you're sitting there looking at this big company going, wow, that is something really big and,
yep,
really major. And now I can look at that company and go, oh my God. And I grew up, it worked out perfect because I grew up in Tampa, and now I'm working with, Anheuser. And what I want to try to do this Halloween is I want to be back in Tampa, and I would love to try and set something up to go do book signing at Busch Gardens.
Uh-huh. Well, go ahead.
Well, because they have the Hollow Scream and stuff, and they have the haunted houses, and of course I'll, dash out to go do a few haunted houses too. So.
Yeah. Well, I kind of grew up with it myself too. I grew up, started drinking Budweiser, and then I switched to Bud Light. So.
To Bud Light. Well, and it's funny because how Bud Light came about, I did a book signing here locally, and they said, I was at an establishment, and they said, so what's your favorite beer? And I said, so should I make something up? Do you have someone in particular that you're wanting to use for me? And they're like, no, tell us who you like. And I said, well, Bud Light, of course. And And next thing I knew, when I went down there to do a book signing, there was these huge posters. There was like 7 or 8 of them hanging up in the place that Bud Light had done. And when I went in to do the book signing, one of the managers came up to me and he says, "I've never seen Bud Light put their name with anything." Because right. They're very particular of what they put their name with. Well, they put their name with mine so many times. I am so happy to be a part of Bud Light and them, you know, them supporting me the way they are. This is like a dream come true.
Well, for the most part, in the past, they've been for like supporting NASCAR drivers and other type of sports people and stuff like that. But yeah, that's really cool that they took on an author like that. I'd really like to get to the point to where you could actually get monetary compensation for being with Bud Light.
Yeah, and I mean, all that stuff will come later down the road. Right now, Bud Light and Dick's Last Resort and Vidme and all that. It's like, you know, whenever I go out with Bud Light, they pay for the advertising when I go out. They make all the posters and everything, and Dick's Last Resort, you know, they'll have it up in the establishments and stuff. It was really cool because when I went in, it was a 5-foot by 3-foot double-sided banner hanging from the ceiling in Dick's Last Resort, and it had my picture, my book cover, and another Bud Light product. And I was like, this can't be happening. I can't believe this. So every time I go into like a grocery store or something and I see Bud Light, you know, the guy's stocking or something, I'll go up to him and I just like, I want to give him a hug and say, oh my God, I love you guys. And I did some pictures with some Bud Light stuff in the store. So I'm kind of goofy and playful when it comes to that. So I like to go out and do stuff like that, you know, and I think a lot of the guys and stuff that work at Bud Light, they appreciate that because I'm kind of down to earth and I like to play like that. So I'll tell you what, I'm happy just thinking and sitting here talking about it with Bud Light and everything. It was funny because, like, you know, when I was down in Brandon, I was talking to two of the reps and I said, I love the beer readers that you guys put out. I said, but I can only have one because I don't know if the alcohol level in that is high or whatever. I said, but I can't stop drinking those and I think they're really, really funny. But I told them whenever I sit down and have a Bud Light, I like relax, and they started laughing because they said, yeah, your mind starts wondering on that stuff. And I said, yeah, it helps me relax and come up with some really good stuff. And who knows? I would like to do something back in Tampa that has to do with like Busch Gardens and stuff, doing like a short story or a book or something. That would be great. And go over to Orlando, which I've already been to Orlando. I went to Dick's Last Resort there and we had a blast there. It was crazy. But yeah, just to have these companies open their door to me, I mean, that says a lot, I think, because people write for years, people are in entertainment for years and can't seem to get maybe the break I got when it comes to these companies. But, you know, all of them like me a lot, and you know, I don't know. We just hit it off. And I am so glad for that. I've got all my Bud Light stuff in my house. I'll take like a souvenir of everything that they do and I'll bring it home. I don't care how small, how big it is. It doesn't matter. Whatever they do for me, it's equal. I love it all. You know, they could do a little, you know, coaster for me and I would be jumping up and down, you know, and they're doing these 3-foot by 5-foot banners. And I'm just like, oh my God, I really felt like a huge star when I went in and I had, you know, that double-sided banner hanging from a Dick's Last Resort. And what's really cool with them is we had mentioned this before on my show, The Dark Hours. We've got Bud Light and Dick's Last Resort on The Dark Hours when it comes on, I think, and maybe at the end of the show or whatever. But the reason we have that up is because about a year ago, whenever we was going to do The Dark Hours, we were going to go around to all of the Dick's Last Resorts and start doing the shows there, and got pushed back on that. So, but we can still do that because my first Dark Hour show, if you remember, Stephen, it was at Dick's Last Resort in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
They Yeah, they had me down there for the first taping ever of the Dark Hours, and that was pretty cool. It was wild that night. And so that was really nice of them to open up their doors to me again for my podcast that had never aired before. You know, they opened up the doors and let us in. So, and it's so funny because Dick's, they tell me, I am welcome at any Dick's Last Resort, anywhere in the U.S., so all I got to do is call them up and let them know I'm going to be in the area, and we can schedule something with them in Bud Light and go do a book signing. So getting into there is easy for me. All I got to do is call them up. And I love both companies for everything that they've done for me. And now VidMe.
Yep.
I mean, VidMe's done so much. VidMe has stuck by me, I mean, through everything. And if it wasn't for VidMe, I probably, you know, I was scared to get back out on social media and do stuff because of the stalking and everything. And VidMe actually opened that up so I could get back out and start advertising and do stuff, because they've protected me over there on their site. And it's just, I'll tell you what, I can get better companies than what I have, Stephen.
And right.
Yeah. They, right. I'm very happy. And like I said, things are going to look up. I have to get past everything that happened over the past year, and I'm doing that. It's an uphill battle, but I'm doing it. And as long as I'm safe, my family's safe, which I think we are right now, you know, I can write and get everything going. I can't wait to get my website launched. Whenever that gets launched, my marketing team's going to do that. So it's going to be very professional and laid out. And
I've got your VidMe page up here right now. You just passed over 77,800 views on all the videos that you're watching. It says you joined May 5th, 2016. Quite, you know, just a few months, well, quite a few months short of a year here, but those are pretty good numbers. What does that 903 points mean?
That's people upvoting my videos. And what's funny is between yesterday and today, Stephen, I've gotten like 1,000 views just within like a 24-hour span.
Right.
Yeah. So it's, I mean, more and more people are seeing, are taking notice of me. And with the books coming out and stuff, I'm starting to get a lot of attention like I had before, but even more now, because people are very interested. They're interested in the writing, and they're interested in what's been happening over the past year, which I had announced I'm going to be doing my first nonfiction book on that, called The Stalking of Tressa Graves.
Uh-huh.
So people are very interested. They go over there and they watch the Monsters of Melbourne. They go over there, they watch the videos I put up, and the Dark Hours.
Well, you have links in here somewhere. I don't currently see them right now, but you have links to support you. I think you have, what, do you have a PayPal or something like that? Or
Yeah, it is secured. It will go through PayPal. So everything is secured when people go in and purchase the books. So, and VidMe's a well-known company, you know, that's why I was glad I teamed up with them. And what we're doing with VidMe is we're doing numbered edition on the Sawgrass Footpath. So anyone who buys like a paperback book, it'd be numbered. And this is pretty cool because my career is taking off. And since I've been down for a year, these numbered books, that's pretty cool, being able to do that and get that out to the public. Cause I've had books up on, it's kind of funny, cause I've had books up on Amazon go for like $300-$400 before.
Uh-huh.
And, so doing a limited edition, you know, numbered books partnered with VidMe is pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I just hope people go over there. They check everything out and see the good and see the bad, you know. But the bad's gonna be behind us real soon, and it's gonna be all good from here on out. Because, Stephen, I have such big plans. I have people in the entertainment business that I'm going to be working with that are professionals. I've got people that's worked on Pirates of the Caribbean, 300, that's done shows for CMT and stuff, and movies through Warner Brothers. And we've got some big projects coming out.
Indeed.
And this won't be until towards the, maybe midway through 2017, towards the end, because it's taken me a while to get my, my big girl britches on again and get everything going. So I'm a little behind, with like 50 Shades of Graves, and now I've got The Stalking of Tressa Graves and all these other projects coming in. So I'm trying to get, I'm trying to lay everything out so I can get it done. It gets hard. Sometimes I work 15 hours a day straight, with doing what I do, because I like to be a part of the advertising. I like to have a hand in flyers and, doing stuff like that when I can. Of course, when I go back out on the road, I won't be able to do any of that. Philip Assemacher, he usually does like the banners and stuff, and he'll get a hold of the companies and send that out so that way they can advertise before, we get there to let the public know that I am coming or whatever.
Well, that's funny you should mention that a minute ago, but I tell you quite often when I talk to you on the phone, well, you characterize it as big girl britches, but I say big girl britches, pull them up and let's get to fighting back. But Lori mentioned in the chat there, it says, it's good to hear that you've gotten over a bitter last year. So good for you.
Yeah, I'm still trying. I still have my ups and downs, which I mean, sometimes when I have to go on and do a Monsters of Melbourne, Stephen's got to coach me. Stephen and Sam, sometimes they have to, I'm not embarrassed to say that, because everyone knows it's been really hard for me. So there's been times that you guys have had to get on to me,
Well, I mean, for Christ's sakes, you've had a therapist for what, 7 or 8 months now?
I still do. I'm still going to therapy. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, she hears everything that's going on and she can't even believe, That's why so many people have said, hey, this has to be turned into a book, because you can't make this stuff up, the stuff that I've been through. I mean, it's almost, if I was on the outside looking in, I would probably say, you're crazy, and there's no way
Yeah,
all these things could be happening.
this is a bunch of bull. This is all made up. But it's not.
Yeah,
Not even close to
it's
being made
fake.
up.
It's fake. For me to peddle a book or whatever, trust me, I don't need to do drama to peddle a book. I get out and socialize with people, get book signings together. We have fun advertising, and just my team going out. We don't need none of this drama. I can get all the all the attention I need without having drama with all this bull crap. I would rather not have this. But it's funny, I will say this, I've always wanted to go to nonfiction, which I hadn't done. I was always scared to, doing the crossover thing. And it was going to take me probably another year or so to do that, because I had so many of my books that I need to get out. Well, with what's going on with the stalking of Troy and Cassie Duncan, this has given me my opportunity to get me in the door of nonfiction. Not the way I wanted, but this will be my first nonfiction book, and I never in my life thought it would be on my own. It would be my own story, Stephen.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I mean, things for me have worked out very weird. I mean, some people may say, yeah, well, whatever, it's just you thinking that way. But I mean, think about it. I grew up in Tampa, always poor, could never go to Busch Gardens, always watched it from across the street. Now I'm working with Bud Light, wanting to do my own, I mean, wanting to do nonfiction and then it being my own story. And I mean, there's been other things like that as well that have happened, and everyone says things happen for a reason, I guess. And a lot of my, with a lot that's happened to me, I guess that's true. It's almost scary. It's almost like I'm living in a dream sometimes, and I need to wake up, because it's just, I mean, even like you said, you can't, Stephen, I make up stuff for a living. I make up stories, and you cannot make up what I have been through over the past year. to be so demented, hateful, evil. I mean, you would have to have like so many different personalities to get one person like I'm dealing with now to be real. And even if I made something like that up, it would seem fake to people, probably putting so many, you know, crazy things in one person. But no, it is the truth. And it's funny because I tell people, you're watching, this is going to go international, this stalking case. You are watching everyone who's following me on VidMe. They're watching this unfold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And when the grand finale comes, it's going to be big. Uh-huh. So that's why people are over there, and every time I put up a Monsters from Melbourne, they go over there and they watch it. I've got some loyal people that go over there, and I have picked up on so many views, Stephen. I mean, so many new people are coming in and stuff. So I don't know. It's just it's my own roller coaster ride. Uh-huh. You know, I always watch those roller coasters at Busch Gardens, you know, and now I'm on my roller coaster 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I can't get off of it. So I am living my own haunted house, and I'm stuck in it.
Nightmare roller coaster.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and I can't get off of it, and I can't find the door to get out of this real-life nightmare.
Turn the roller coaster. Turn the ride off.
I wish I could sometimes. It's almost like I'm trapped in a house with no windows and no doors, and this person keeps coming out and just terrorizing me.
Yeah.
And there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. That person is always there. And there you go. That's a good Twilight type zone story. And that's what I like. I like doing the old school, like you had said, with the readings on the radio. And I like to do the Twilight Zone. And a lot of my stories are like that. And, you know, the Twilight Zone, Tales from the Crypt and stuff like that. And to me, that's fun. I like doing the old school horror, and it's just my style of writing. So, and I've had people compare me to Edgar Allan Poe because of the old school writing. And that's pretty cool too, because I'm a female, you know, and I had one gentleman, he's got his own horror show. I won't say his name for obvious reasons because I don't want him to end up being attacked, but he says Tressa Graves can sling blood and gore just like the big boys in the writing world or whatever can. And I'm like, well, I like that a lot. So it's just fun. I'm glad I'm getting back out there.
Yeah, I am too. And it's a pretty good place to end it right here then.
Yes, it is. And thank you for having me on again. And thanks to everyone who's been supporting me and following me. And please go over and check out VidMe, because public awareness for the stalking, we need that to get laws changed and also to keep track on the books and my new book when it comes out. And we'll be advertising my book tours real soon. So Everyone follow me over on VidMe.
All right. I want to keep you on the line while I'm going to the break there, because I can talk for just a few seconds afterwards. And and then we'll talk later then. But go ahead and stay on the line there.
Okay.
And I'll be right back in just a few minutes here, everyone, about 6 minutes. Got to put a nice tune on to almost at the hour here, so you might as well call it the hour and take a break. Put your pot of tea on or coffee, whatever you would like, and be right back in a few minutes.